Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this Sunday after Easter is From Panic to Peace. As we continue our sermon series on the 23rd Psalm today, the fourth verse of that psalm, where David writes, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find the sermon outline as we consider our theme together, From Panic to Peace. Problems, pains, fears. Anyone here today dealing with such things? And are these things strange things to be talking about just 1 week after the joys of Easter? Well, late last night, Beverly and I just drove home from the USA. We were there for 6 days. We were hoping it would be kind of a rest after the Easter festivities, but the reality was it was a 6 days filled with challenge and some heartache. We said our goodbyes and prayed with our beloved stepfather, Bill. We helped Mother plan the funeral and take care of a number of other arrangements an 83-year-old woman needed help with. Now, he's still hanging in there, but the reality is he could die any day, and I've already mentioned to the elders any moment I could get back in the car and drive back to Spokane for the funeral. And after we saw Mother there in Spokane, we drove to another town to see our son in Richland, Washington. And the good news is he's talking about a wedding. The challenging news is his sweetheart has just had major surgery and she's facing yet another very serious surgery. Problems and pains and fears. I'm not surprised. You shouldn't be either. We all face the realities of living in a fallen and sinful world. The Easter truth that Christ is risen, He's risen indeed, gives us strength and gives us God's peace to face our fears, even when the source of these fears remain in this sinful and fallen world. Today, just 1 week after Easter, I also invite you to do something that also might seem a little strange, a little different. I invite you to go back with me just to a few days before the first Easter. We'll join Jesus in a garden called Gethsemane. Now take a look with me, won't you? Take a look at the face of Jesus. It's His expression that puzzles us. We've never seen His face look like this. Jesus smiling? Yes. Jesus weeping? Absolutely. Jesus angry? You bet, even that. But Jesus in utter anguish, cheeks streaked with tears, face flooded with sweat like drops of blood falling from His precious brow. He's kneeling all alone in Gethsemane's garden. His disciples are nearby, but they're asleep. He's getting ready for what's going to happen on the next day, His crucifixion. And we hear Him praying this prayer, Father, if it be Thy will, Luke 22, Father, if it be Thy will, take away this cup of suffering. Nevertheless, Your will be done, not my will. And being full of pain, Jesus prayed even louder, and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus was in anguish. He knew the pain that awaited Him the next day, as He kept His divine appointment with the cross. You see, as true God, Jesus Christ knew the joys of Easter that awaited Him. But as true man, He also knew that before Sunday glory came, must come Friday's suffering. Now, my friends, we know about Easter glory, don't we? What a great Sunday we had last week. What marvelous music we had. What a great celebration it was. Why on Easter, as we do every year, we see people we never see any other time of the year. What a great Sunday we had last Sunday. We know our Lord's Easter resurrection victory means our victory. Yet this side of heaven, we must also face problems and pains and fears. And where do we turn in such moments? We turn to the One who understands. We turn to the One who's been there and knows. The One who knows such anguish. The One who in a garden prayed, "Father, if it be Thy will, take away this cup of suffering. Nevertheless, Father, Thy will be done." Let me ask you this morning, what causes you to pray the same prayer? The source of your fear may seem small compared to dying on the cross. The source of your fear may seem small to others, but to you, it can bring panic and pain. St. Luke tells us that Jesus struggled so much in that garden that He bled. I did some research on this. Doctors call this condition hematidrosis. Hematidrosis is a severe anxiety, causing the release of chemicals that break down the capillaries in the sweat glands. Sweat then comes out, tinged with blood. And that's what Luke describes. How remarkable that Jesus felt such fear. But how kind and loving of our Lord to tell us about it. Because we tend to do just the opposite. Gloss over our fears. Cover them up. Deny them. Keep them a secret from others. Keep our sweaty palms buried in our pants pockets. But not so with Jesus. We see no pretend mask of strength, but we do hear a prayer and a request for the Heavenly Father's strength. "Father, if it be Your will, take away this cup of suffering." The first one to hear Jesus' fear was His Father in heaven. Now, He could have awakened His sleeping disciples. He could have called a prayer meeting. He could have, as the old hymn says, called 10,000 angels. But none of these were His priority. Jesus first went to His Father. And how we today tend to go everywhere else except to our Father, even just 1 week after Easter. We go to the bar. We go to the bottle. We go to the counselor. We go to the friend next door. We go to the self-help book. We go to our busy schedule, keeping so busy we have no time, we say, to think about things that really concern us. Not Jesus. The first one to hear His fear was His dear Father in heaven. Now, 1,000 years earlier, David was urging us to do the same. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David says, "I will fear no evil." How could David say such a thing? Because he knew where to look. because his Lord had proven his faithfulness to David. And the Lord had taught David where to look, where to turn his heart and his eyes in time of fear. David said, "I will fear no evil, O Lord, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." How did Jesus endure and overcome the terror of the crucifixion? He went first to his Father with his fears. He did as Psalm 56, verse 3 tells us. "When I am afraid, I put my trust in Thee, O Lord." My dear friends, this might seem like a strange second Sunday of Easter sermon, but let's get real. Christ is risen! And in the face of His being risen from death, we who are His children still face the realities of this world of sin and death. We don't, however, face them alone. Today, our dear Lord Jesus, invites us to do what He did, to not avoid our life's gardens of Gethsemane, but to enter them. And to enter them knowing this, we do not enter that garden alone. Your Lord Jesus is at your side. You can count on the truth of that old gospel song that declares, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus." Jesus gets it. He understands. He does not think your fears are stupid. He won't tell you to buck up or be a man. He won't say to you, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." He knows how you feel. He knows what you need. And that's why we include in our prayers what Jesus prayed. "Father, if it be Thy will." Was the Father willing? Well, yes and no. He did not take away Jesus' cross. Because of His great love for you and me and for the world, the Father did not take away Jesus' cross. Because of the salvation He wanted to give to you and to me and for the sins of the world, He did not take away Jesus' cross. "For God so loves the world," says St. John 3, verse 16, "that He gave His only begotten Son." The Father didn't take away Jesus' cross, but He did take away Jesus' fear. He didn't still the storm, but He calmed the sailor. Our Lord Jesus got up from His knees in that garden. And He kept His divine appointment with the cross for the next day. And what He did for you and He did for me. And we know, as Paul Harvey, the radio announcer, used to say, we know the rest of the story. We know what happened 3 days later. It might have been Friday, but Sunday was coming and it came. And the truth is this: Christ is risen. And shortly after His resurrection victory, His resurrection victory over sin and death and hell, and yes, anything that causes us to fear. As you heard in the gospel reading this morning, what did Jesus do? Of all the places He could have been, what did He do? He appeared to some frightened disciples. They were hiding in an upper room behind locked doors. All they knew was that Jesus was crucified and he was buried. Their future wasn't certain. They likely wondered if what happened to Jesus would soon happen to them. All their hopes and their dreams were in Jesus, but all they knew was that he was dead and he was buried. But then he came to them. The risen Lord walked right through their locked door. He showed them his pierced hands and his feet, his wounded side. He turned their panic into peace. He gave them what they needed more than anything else. His presence that brought them peace. And what did he say to them? He said to them, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. I am with you. The true presence of Christ melted away their fears. And guess what? Look here. The true presence of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine of the Holy Supper. Our Lord Jesus is as truly present with us today in this room, in this place, as he was in the upper room with his disciples. Through the means of grace, through the preaching of his holy word, which is without error, in the celebration of his holy supper, in the pouring of his holy water, in these means of grace, he is truly with us. And what does he say to you, Herb? What does he say to you, Ruth? What does he say to you, Val? What does he say to you way up in the balcony, Kristen? He says, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you. I am with you. The disciples' fears melted away. They became the men of God who took the good news of Christ's resurrection victory all over the known world. As the book of Acts says, they became the men, quote, who turned the world upside down. My friends, Jesus is risen, and he's risen for you. When you consider your fears, don't measure the size of the mountain. Talk to the one who can move that mountain. Instead of carrying the world on your shoulders, talk to the one who holds the universe on his. He burst through the grave of sin and death and of fear. No rock rolled in front of that tomb could hold him in. He is stronger than the grave. He is stronger than anything that brings you fear. He turns our panic into peace. Today, your risen Lord shows you his nail-pierced hands and feet and wounded side. He says to you the same thing he said to those frightened disciples, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Jesus, our good shepherd, gives us the Psalm 23 faith to declare what David said, O Lord, I finally fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh Lord, thank you for today turning our panic into peace. In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd. Amen.